Hello, my friends. This is Pranila, and welcome back to our sixth week of our 40-day cleanse. I know we're coming close to the home stretch, but we're not done yet. I certainly still have a number of things I want to share with you. Before we start today, let's again just connect on that deeper place inside. Let's just start out with taking a deep breath together, letting our bellies just fill up all the way from the inside out. And just allow your belly to become soft and big and round. We have so many shoulds around our bellies too, don't we? Why don't we just allow our belly to be exactly the way it is and make the space for all the air that we can breathe in to just fill us up. One more thing to allow of who we already are. Just take another breath in and again allowing all of you, absolutely all of you, to be here. And that includes the part that you may not want to be here, maybe a part you're ready to be done with. But let's just take a breath into any of those parts. And just let them know that there's space for them here too, to open up and to be freed. Maybe we can squeeze a little feeling of feeling loved in here. Do that together. What happens in the body when you actually feel loved? What changes? How do you breathe? What happens to your shoulders? Yeah. We can just be here, and we do not need to exclude anything out of this ocean of love that we're all swimming in. Whether we're frozen waves or warm streams in the Caribbean, it doesn't really matter. It's all water, remember? Just let yourself be everything you are this very moment. And then you can allow the next moment to unfold on its own accord. It will happen naturally. And it is going to be a beautiful unfolding the more we learn to allow. So with that, let's just gently come back. And if you have the liberation proclamation, I still can't pronounce that, but that's okay. Let's just read it all together. Let's take a breath, and then we just share our commitment to freeing ourselves. I commit to liberating myself from the shoulds that keep me separated from my true expression. I commit to embracing, trusting, and following the wisdom and guidance of my heart. In this process, I commit to being kind and gentle with myself at all times. When I recognize a should, I stop, slow down, and take a deep breath first. Then I will consciously look for where I am about to engage with a should. And I commit to do whatever it takes to take the charge out of the should and recharge my heart instead. Yeah, I hope that's becoming more default or second nature in you, that you just know that is something you may still need to remind yourself of, but I hope that the feeling of that is becoming more alive in you, so that you actually start moving from a place where that is what you want the most, no matter what happens. And I want to thank you all again for your beautiful sharings on Facebook. I just really love how things are moving and how they're shifting for you, and specifically how you are sharing so deeply and intimately with each other. It's just really, really beautiful. And I had to laugh a little bit. There was this one sharing. It said, wow, it really is a choice, and it really takes effort, with three smiling faces behind it. And it is so true. I was so happy to read that, and because it is a choice. And I think I repeated it many, many times last week. I kept saying, practice, 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 keep practicing, because there really is no other way. If you fully want to embody who and what you are, and then finally realize that who you are and what you do is one, it's the same. So who you are and what you do is one thing. It's not two. So let's celebrate that one, that oneness that is beginning to come forward. But it does take effort. And I know that sometimes I forget that when something is so clear to me, and I have this belief that when I share it with others, it will be just as clear for them right away. And what I forget is that it's taking me 20, 30 years to get to this place through ongoing repetition, daily, 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 until something really starts sticking and transforming on a deeply felt level. So I had to laugh, like, but wait a minute, I've been saying this all along. And then I had to catch my little ego, because it's like, yeah, remember, how many times have I, I'm sure it's the same for you, that we have to read the same thing over and over and over and listen to the same tapes over and over and over, and suddenly you go like, oh, that's it, as if it's the first time you hear it. And that's the moment of the realization where you actually start feeling it as a lived experience in your body. And that's when it becomes alive and real and juicy. So if it's helpful for you, I would suggest you may re-listen to the previous recording and just allow all of the things that we've been going through to sink deeper, because I know we have been going through a lot. And it may also be, it maybe it's even a little too much in 40 days. But as you keep doing it, and you can always come back, you have all the information and the support that you need right now to just keep practicing, keep re-listening, re-listen to the meditations, and every time you do, you will go deeper until you get that big aha. And I love that. But let me remind you, though, it is your choice where you want to put your attention. It is your choice. Nobody else can do that. You choose wherever you put your attention. And you can put your attention on loving yourself or not loving yourself. And like we talked about last time, I think it was, it takes time and practice to create a new neural pathway in our brains to embody a new pattern. So just because you've been practicing feeling loved for a few weeks, the old pattern is still very, very strong. And that's why we need to keep practicing to build a new neural pathway where loving yourself is not even an effort. It is just there. And I can attest to that because to me it is just part of being now. It's not, sometimes I remind myself, but it's just like, oh yeah, because it feels so darn good. So it's not like a struggle. It is that practice where it's just become second nature now, and I can just go into that neural pathway. And then the more I do that, the other one is just going to crumble. And finally, the pathway is so overgrown with weeds that I can't even find it anymore. So that's kind of the invitation. And of course, it is an ongoing process of being and becoming, because we are already being the love that we are looking for, and we are already being the love that we are practicing. It's not that we're bringing in something new from the outside, but we're actually starting to make use of what we already are. And it's a funny word to say make use of, but for now let's just use it that way. And the more we make use of being the love that we are by practicing feeling loved, then the becoming of it in our expression becomes evident. So it's an ongoing being and becoming. It's not about reaching your goal and then it's all done. It's simply a process of continual deepening and embodiment of what you already are, your being, and then the ongoing becoming as you embody what you realize. And that's the ahas, when you get, oh, I get it, right? Then the being and the becoming is the same expression. And I also hope that you are realizing the power of sharing it with each other, and that you are seeing and feeling that you don't need to do all of this on your own anymore. We're all in this together. Doing it on our own is also a thing of the past. And that's why I love this the opportunity we have on Facebook to create these secret Facebooks where nobody else knows what's being shared. So it can be kept very intimate, and we can show up in our vulnerability. And I've been in a number of these kind of groups over the past few years, not just Facebook groups, but other groups. And every time I just realize the power of sharing and supporting with each other. And it's almost like it creates a whole new third energy that is much, much bigger than what is being shared individually with each other. I think it taps into new channels of inspiration and opportunities that we share with each other. And I know that you guys are doing that, and you might hopefully realize the power of that. And I will certainly encourage you to continue after the 40 days, either with each other or start creating something where you can share that in a safe and supportive environment. So I'm a great supporter of sharing in groups and bringing that expression of oneness into being, so it's not just sitting there in our on our own little island having to do it all our own. No, we all come together and we create a whole new world. And that world is not based on being separate and alone. That's the old world. So hallelujah for that. Let's just take a breath and just celebrate how beautifully you guys are doing that. I really, really am touched by it. And let's just touch in again on the importance of leaving the shoulds behind and listen to or be your heart. It's really, again, a process of being and becoming. So by listening to our heart and being our heart, that's when the whole new life can start unfolding. When you live by shoulds, you basically live several steps away from yourself. You leave your own truth and your own passion, your aliveness, your happiness, your fulfillment, and your purpose. You leave that behind when you live several steps away from yourself. What you are looking for out there cannot be found out there, because what you are looking for, you already are. And I know in the non-dual satsangs, you know, we talk a lot about who you are. What I want to add to that is that you are everything you are looking for when you allow yourself to receive it. So that's why you also are the fulfillment you are looking for out there. That's why it is so important to really start realizing that who you are is the movement inside. It's just, it's the being, it's the experience of your presence. But there is a movement, there is an expression that comes with that, and that expression contains everything that will make you happy. So it is all of who you are. You already are that. And the free will or choice that we have been given, and that you realize, like, oh my God, it really is a choice, right? And that is the free will that has been talked about for eons. It's really the same thing. And we have that choice to live as who we are or to live as who we are not. And that's when we're shoulding ourselves. When you catch yourself doing any kind of shoulding, you are moving away from yourself and you are moving away from anything and everything that will ever make you feel happy and fulfilled. So it's, I really want to stress a little more the importance that this is not just some kind of a fun little 40-day we do. It's really bringing us fully into our full beingness where everything we need already is. And it's just waiting for us. So as you let go of the grip of the shoulds and put your attention or your awareness, or your breathing, you know, your resting back on your being instead, and then love your being in whatever way it's showing up in the moment, you activate your beingness. If we relate that to the frozen wave we talked about last week, by you putting your attention on your beingness, you basically start defrosting the frozen wave. Because your frozen wave, I'm sorry, your beingness is not frozen. Your beingness is fluid and buoyant and moving and alive. But it is our resistance to being who we are. It's our resistance to our beingness that feels like we're frozen. And that's why we're living in lack and in pain and in suffering, because we are resisting this amazing current or this amazing beingness where everything is already available to us. And when you stop resisting, which is what we're doing, right, by allowing, then you will start notice that your flow, your beingness, or the current, right, it's like this current, natural current in the ocean, that it's right there. And it has always been there, but because we have been resisting it, we have not been experiencing it. So again, the question is, where are you choosing to put your attention? Are you putting it on your current, your natural current, your natural flow? Or are you putting it on resisting your natural current? And once you stop resisting and just jump, splash right into your current, you'll realize that the energy of your current, that carries everything inside of it that you desire. So it's diving, you know, head first right into your own current, your own flow, your own beingness, your desires. That has an energy. It's an alive energy that is everything you long for. Remember, desire is from the Creator or from God or Goddess. So your fulfillment is really built into your current. And again, when I say it that way, it sounds as if there's two things. But I'm just saying that until the mind gets that there's nothing built in, because it's the same thing. And if you will stop resisting you, who you are, and instead feel into your flow or your current and go with it, not going against it, go with it. Let yourself follow it. Let yourself be led by it, by going inside and listening and then opening up to how it wants to go. We're all learning. I mean, this is not something we have been practicing for a long time. It's a new energy that's here available for us now. So we are basically all learning to fine-tune our senses to our own flow or our own current. And that's why slowing down, pausing, and listening deeply to our inner, it's really placing our attention on the inner and paying attention to what it is. What is it that is moving there? And then start loving this flow, loving it into action, loving it into expression. And that happens when you stop resisting it, because it is already there. And the only reason that we need to practice is because we have been practicing resisting it, right? That's what we've been doing every day for most of our lives. That's the reason we need to practice. It's not because we need to practice it into existence. We're basically practicing our resistance into allowing, right? It's an opening up. It's a learning to relax and soften, and allowing ourselves to be who we are by deeply, deeply listening. We have a choice. We can resist and we can allow. As long as it's unconscious, though, we don't really have a choice. But this class has really been making a lot of it conscious. And the more you practice all the things we've been going through, you become more conscious of it, and then you can make healthier choices. And then you can start feeling an aliveness inside of you that's been there all along. So what it needs from all of us now is our attention, so we can allow it to flow in this dimension effortlessly. The effort comes in the practicing to relaxing, to not effort, basically. So we put effort into letting go of the effort. It sounds so funny. It sounds like an oxymoron or something, but we do need to put an effort into not efforting, and the way we do that is by learning to allow. And we've been efforting for a long, 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 long time, so it might take a little while, or maybe a little long while, before it becomes effortless. But that's okay, because that is the current. You see, that's the new current we're all riding. We're riding a current into more effortlessness. So there's really nothing else you can do except keep following. So I hope that makes sense to you all. Let's just take a deep breath. There's a lot there. Let's just let that sink in. So remember, allow yourself to be all of who you are. And when you do that, you start surfing on your own current. And when you do that, you will know what to do, what to say, what direction to go in, because you are following your current by tuning deeply into your heart or your desires, right? That's when you are surfing your current, and it's going to be the best surf ride you can get, because it's you. So all this resisting we've been doing, and everybody has been doing it very, very unconsciously, we're going to make it more and more conscious, right? The more we become conscious of our resistance, the more we can choose to allow it instead. And this way that we resist, that's where we feel the contractions in our bodies. And that can set in as emotional, physical, mental pain. It can cause all kind of stuff. And when we start allowing, we open up the floodgates of the healing current to move through everything. And from that point of view, a lot of healings can happen on many, many levels. And we're so used to resisting that we really may not even be aware when we do it. So I want to shine a little more light. I want to do just a little bit of an exercise with you here to see where you're at with your, basically with your should list. We started out the should list about 6 weeks ago, and I don't know if you've been adding to it, if you've been looking at it. Maybe you've seen enough of it and you're done with it. But I just want to do a little exercise just to touch in and see if there's any resistant energy left over relating to your should list. So if you think about what you've been writing down on that list over the last 6 weeks, let's just see how much you may still be attached to it. So just recall within yourself what your specific flavor of shooting is. And I know we have many of them, but there might be one that stands out specifically for you. And that's usually the one that can hold a lot of the other ones in place. So just really become aware of the should flavor that you have been giving into for most of your life. Because it was unconscious, right? You didn't have a choice. But now, with the work that we've been doing, I want to ask you this question. Would you want to keep these shoulds? How badly do you want to let him go? And just feel that. Take a moment and really feel that question in your body. Do you want to hold on to them? Or do you want to let them go? And from that place, I want to invite you to imagine that you're holding these shoulds in your hand. You actually put out your hand. Do it physically. Stretch out your hand in front of you and hold that should list or that specific should flavor in your hand or hands and really hold it tightly. I mean, hold it like this is mine and this is, I've been living this my whole life. Really hold it. And then see what happens when I say to you, you can let them go now. You can just loosen your grip and let them go now. You can let them go now. And just notice what your experience is inside. Do you feel fear? A relief? Maybe a resistance? Just notice your relationship to your shoulds and the choice that you have to let them go now. And just feel whatever comes alive in your body. And if you want to, you can just jot it down if it's something you want to look at a little later. If any of you feel resistance or fear of letting them go, let's use that as another opportunity to allow that feeling of fear or that feeling of resistance. Just allow it. And then just bring that feeling of feeling loved into it. It's okay if it's still there. It's not a problem. It's been there for a long time. So if that is still there for you, breathe into that fear or that resistance. Don't think that it shouldn't be here because it is here. And just allow it. It's just another layer of resistance that can be invited to be set free. And on the other hand, if you feel free, if that little exercise made you feel like, yes, ah, and you feel free from them now, then let's just do a feeling loved into what is left when there is no resistance. And that's you. Feel yourself, who and what you are when you are not resisting yourself. Yeah, let's breathe that in. Whichever one relates to you, that's just the next layer. And when we think about all these contractions, the reason that we have them along with strong emotions is only because we resist who we are. So you can choose, do you want to keep resisting who you are? Or do you want to start opening up to who you are and letting yourself out? You ready to let the true you come out and live a life that's going to be very different, much more enjoyable, much more free and alive than the one that has been living under the shoulds. And of course, it's going to be scary to step out into something totally new. But that's okay. It will be scary. It's always scary when we give up an old, seemingly safe pattern to step into something new that we've never done before. But just imagine it like it's an excitement, right? Take a breath into that scary feeling and go, oh my God, we're going to go on this fun ride now. We don't know where we're going. So allow yourself to shift from stifling and contracting because it's scary to step out into the light. And then take a breath and then just see if you can feel some kind of excitement and aliveness that you're ready for, even though you may not have a clue what it's going to look like. So the question is, are you willing to let go of resisting who you are? Your current, your deep flow of desires. Just feel that for a moment. And if you say yes to this, and it's a little scary because you don't know how, that's normal. You do not need to know how. All you need is willingness. Knowing how to do it at this point is irrelevant, and it quote-unquote should not stop you from being willing. So there is a difference between these two. You know, you do not need to know how to do something before you are willing to do it. Let me repeat that. You do not need to know how to do something new before you are willing to do it, before you're willing to say yes to it. It's in you saying yes, it's in you being willing that opens up the door and the energy. And that energy knows how. So you don't need to know how. You just say yes, open up the energy, and the energy is the how. So if we keep waiting to know how, we are blocking the energy to flow, which is the how. Can you see? So it's again, it comes back to that you already are the how. All we need is to say yes to who we are, and then everything can flow from there. So just take a moment here and see if you can feel the words, if you can feel the truth of that in your own experience. And that willingness to say yes to something you don't know what is yet, that is like the commitment that we've been practicing also. It's really saying yes, being committed to something that we don't even know is what it's going to look like, but we can feel something inside of us is alive, and that's what we say yes to. So let's take one more deep breath together and just let that settle for a moment. And if it feels a little scary or exciting, just breathe into that. It is. It is scary and it is exciting. And that's the fun part. What fun is it to live behind the safety or the seemingly safety behind a should? It's a little dead, isn't it? I think we're done with those. So I want to address one more thing today besides the resistances. I want to address any regrets. If there's any regrets still hiding somewhere, they need to be freed up too. It's really all about contracting or opening. And if there's any area of regretting, it's because we are still holding on to something that as if we should have done it differently. So it's kind of a should in disguise. It's as if we should have known better when we did something in the past. And if we still carry that contraction in our body, we are actually preventing the flow of fulfillment to flow because we're blocking it. Every should is like a contraction. And a way you can recognize a regret, they usually start with, if only. If only I had said or done this. Or if only I had not said or done this. Or they can start with, I wish I had. Or I wish I hadn't. And can you see how these are shoulds in disguise? It's not being who we are. It's not being with what is. It's being with how it is not. It's wanting it to have been differently. And if you have done something you regret, you need to make peace with it in order to carry or in order not to carry another contraction of a should in your body. And there's, of course, two sides from this. It could be that you regret that you had or had not done something, or it could be that somebody else seemed to have wronged you. But either way, in order for you to be free, you are the one who needs to make peace with it. So as I'm talking about these things of regrets, just notice if there's anything coming up for you right now. There might be some memories, there might be some thoughts, there might be some strong feelings, there might be a lot of resistance. Whatever it is, take a deep breath. Right into it and allow it. We want to keep peeling away and see where we are still living under the should regime, saying we should have been differently than we were, either today or back then or in the future. We cannot live by those anymore, guys. They are blocking who you are. They are blocking the new energies that want to take birth on this planet. And we need to let them go. So whatever it brought up for you right now, allow it. Breathe into it. If you have been resisting something like that for a long, long time, be very, very gentle with yourself. Gentleness is the salve we need to break these old walls down and end these old wars inside of us. And of course, when we are not forgiving either ourselves or somebody else, it's usually because we think or are afraid that we or that other person might do it again, or that that's an okay to do it again. But it really isn't. All it is when we do not forgive ourselves and hold on to some kind of regret is that we contract and we hold something imprisoned, and we block it from flowing naturally into every part of our body, in our life, any area of our expression. And this lack of forgiveness or this holding on of a regret, it kind of eats us up inside, and it can really be the cause of a lot of physical discomfort. So we need to keep learning to open up, and I want to make sure that before we end the 40 days, that if there's any regrets that you live with, and they may be specifically for yourself, about yourself, we want to make sure that we can allow them and breathe into them. So if anything has popped up into your mind as I've been talking about this, just again, write it down. Just write a few sentences down if there's anything. I did post it yesterday already on the Facebook, just so to prepare you, so you may already have started that. So if you have, just add to it if anything came up, and if not, just see if there is anything left. And if there isn't, let's celebrate. That's totally okay too. But if you are carrying anything with you that's unresolved, it sucks your energy, and it tells you that you should or should not have done it, and it makes you put yourself down, and it keeps you, this is really the most important thing, it keeps you from living your purpose. You block the purpose energy, your aliveness energy. So it's really essential that you face these regrets and make amends, either with yourself or with somebody else. And please remember, nobody makes it through life without doing stupid things. I have certainly made plenty of them myself. And truthfully, I've had to forgive myself. I've done it for many years. When things pop up, I just had to forgive myself. And there's been times where I had to call others from the past, things that may have happened, and apologize. Or simply clear up any leftover debris that was still living in me. And, you know, there might still be things we're never done. It's an ongoing process. So when I see things that I hadn't quite seen before, I just meet them right away. And I take the action needed to free and liberate that energy because I don't want to live with it. There may be some people you need to contact, and it may be yourself, you know, and just express something. Let them know that you did something that you're sorry about. And it may be scary, you know, it could be scary to do that, but again, what's more important? Do you want to put your attention on contraction and being afraid? Or do you want to put it on being free? So here's just one more opportunity for you to move out of a should and into a free-flowing energy of who you are. So please don't let yourself off the hook. You are the one holding your energy imprisoned. No matter who did what, it does not matter. If you are holding on to it, you are the one with the contraction. And if you are judging yourself for holding on to it, you're basically adding more contraction to an already strong contracted part. So remember what we do. We breathe into it. We slow down. And you allow. You allow whatever you have done, whatever feelings are there, you allow them to be felt. And when you're ready, you can bring love into those contracted areas of you. So if anything came up right now, just breathe into it. Take a deep, gentle, loving breath. If there's anything left that you feel contracts inside of you when we talk about this, it might be like, oh my God, I don't want to deal with that. It's like, breathe into it. Just breathe into it. And allow it to not be ready to deal with it. That's part of it too. Again, it is your choice, as always. So you will be releasing, you can choose to release a contraction from your energy field. And what that does, it makes you emotionally more intelligent, right? It's freeing up a younger, painful part by breathing into it, loving it, allowing it to flow. And just to flip it around, what is the alternative? You can keep your baggage and you can say that you should have known better, right? But you know that doesn't work. So let's be true to our hearts and really release anything that's still hanging from the past, whether it's yourself or somebody else. This is just an opportunity for another level of deep healing to happen. And it really feels good. It's liberating more and more of who you are. It's defrosting the current of your energy, of your life force. And I don't want you guys to lie on your deathbed regretting that you did not live up to what you knew you wanted to. And or maybe that you hurt somebody and that you never were accountable for it. These are things we can clear up, and it can be done, and it has to be done. When I went through this 40-day process myself last year, I actually imagined myself to come to the end of my life and look at if there were any regrets. And it was interesting because the biggest fear that I had was to finish this life without having put out my message of what I came here for, or basically was not living the current that I am, the flow of life. And I felt a deep regret, like, oh my God, I don't want to finish this lifetime lying on my deathbed saying, oh, if only I had listened to my heart some more. If only I hadn't been so afraid. And it was very, very powerful. And it kind of kicked me out of lying there on my deathbed and hearing myself, you know, say I should have or I wish I had. It's just like, no, I'm just going to do. I'm just going to listen. And this is what I came here for. And I don't want to waste this life. This is what I want to do. And it brought in a lot of energy to do what I'm doing now. And it keeps changing. It keeps moving. The current keeps moving. As we move with it, new things unfold. And by that, through that commitment, I opened up the current. And, you know, you guys know I'm doing things that I have never done before. And it's actually a lot of fun. But it came from saying, you know, I don't want to waste my life on this. I want to just bring it all out. So let's take a deep breath and just notice whatever comes up for you. And again, if there's anything you think about in your future that you want to make sure you don't do, that you don't regret you didn't do, just write it down. And you can continue with that list later on. But it is a good one to finish up with. And then I want to just finish the end of this call today with a little meditation about the regrets. So whatever you wrote down, you can continue writing afterwards. And you might have some more insight after this little meditation we're going to do. So I want to invite you to find a comfortable place. And if you're driving or operating heavy equipment, you can listen to the tape when you come home. But just close your eyes and take a deep breath. Just allow anything that's been percolating over this last hour or so, just let it come up to the surface. Any feelings, any images, allow it. And now let's imagine that you're lying, you come to the end of your life, and you're lying on your deathbed, looking back at your life. So just take a moment and imagine what that would look like, what that would feel like. It may be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years from now, who knows? But there's a natural ending, and you're just looking back at your life. And maybe you're realizing that you did not live your purpose. You're looking back. And just see if there's any areas where you see or hear yourself saying, if only, oh God, I wish I had. Oh, I really wish. And whatever it is, just let it come up. Let yourself see any areas that you still want to liberate. And it could be that you say, oh, I wish I had practiced feeling loved more and forgiven myself for the things that I did that I really didn't like about myself. What area are you still resisting forgiving or loving yourself? And ask yourself, do you really want to take that with you all the way to the end of your life? My guess is that you're saying no. Here's a chance for you to see it, to face it, to feel it, and just acknowledge it. Maybe you can see that you really did your best. You did the best according to the upbringing that you had, or according to the emotional intelligence that your parents had, that you had. You did the best according to your environment and circumstances. And your lack of experience, the lack of having good role models. When we're young, we take on the patterns from our parents because that's all we can do. That's how our brains are wired, that we model. We need mirrors when we're little to find out how to work, how to function in the world. And if we didn't have good mirrors, good models, we didn't get good tools. So if we didn't have enough tools in our toolbox, we probably did things that weren't really smart. So if you really look at that, given the toolbox that you got, that you actually did the best you could with that toolbox. And then since then, you have probably learned a lot of things, and now you have a lot more tools in your toolbox. And that's why today, in your current situation, you have a very different set of experiences, tools, and emotional and intellectual experiences to draw from, which you did not have back then. So it's like imagining you go through school, and when you're in first grade, you're just learning a few tools. And if you started beating yourself up for not being able to have the tools that the sixth graders have, you know, you'll be suffering a lot for no reason. And if you come to the sixth grade and then you see how stupid you were as a first grader, that you didn't know back then what you know now, you're causing yourself a lot of suffering. So let's see if we can just look back at ourselves when we were young and we were collecting tools in our toolbox for life and we didn't get a very expensive, smart tool set. We just had the basics, and they were basically our survival skills. So with those tools, we actually managed, right? We survived. You're still here. And since then, with all the new emotional, intellectual, spiritual tools that you have acquired, today you know that you will do things differently because you know how to. But the thing with a toolbox is you need to use them. It's no good having all your tools in a toolbox without making use of them. You cannot build a house just by having your toolbox closed. You need to practice, use the tools. And that's what we can do now. We have very different advanced tools. And that's when you look back at yourself now for things that you may regret, may judge yourself from. Just see if you can meet yourself from a different place. See if you can allow those parts of you. Breathe into them. What is it like to see yourself from who and what you are today, knowing what you know today, and then seeing that you did things that may not have been so smart back then, because that's all you knew. Just breathe into that. Again, it all comes down to how much self-love you can express to yourself and see that you only did your best given the circumstances that you were in. Now, sometimes there might be a lingering fear that you might repeat something that you've done in the past, or that you might go unconscious again. That's not uncommon, that there's kind of a contraction like, oh my God, what if I do it again? Now, if that is true for you right now, let's just take a breath into that fear. And take another breath into that fear if it's there. And just allow it to be there. Just allow it. And listen to it. Don't believe it. You don't need to believe that it's true what it's saying. But you can allow it and just listen to what it has to say. And just allow it and breathe some love into that. See if you can go right into that fear. And just feel loved. Let a new higher frequency fill up this place. And this self-love, this feeling loved, this is what will dissolve this contraction and this fear that could cause you to do it again. Because when we are not, when we're living from a contraction of fear, that's where we do, that's when we only have very few tools in our toolbox. Because all we know is, I need to survive, whether it's physical or emotional survival. But when we bring this self-love and allowing into this low vibration energy, you bring in new tools. So basically you help an emotional immaturity or an intellectual immaturity in that contraction. You bring in a higher energy, and this higher energy will not cause you to do something again that you regret. So if there should be any fear around that, just do exactly what we've been doing with everything else. It's just another fear, it's just another contraction, and all it needs is to go up a little higher in frequency, which is where it has more tools available. It can make much healthier choices. And if a situation should arise, you have your emotional intelligence to choose differently. So let's breathe into that. Keep allowing, keep loving. And everything will eventually dissolve. The fuel in your heart that can move through any feelings or beliefs that are normally contracted and that will make you do things that you will probably regret. So you have such an amazing toolbox now. And you can use that anytime in any situation. So let's all take a breath together again. And then you can slowly start coming back. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. And I just want to give you an opportunity to write down if anything came up for you that stood out. Just write it down. And remember that whatever comes up for you, it's showing up out of love to give you an opportunity to free up any contracted energy. So whatever these feelings are, whatever these situations you were in, whatever regrets, whatever they are, please do not judge yourself. Do not judge these feelings or thoughts. This is an opportunity to be extremely, extremely gentle with yourself. Because you have been so hard on yourself for so long because of these events, now you can choose to do it differently. This is again a choice point. The choice point to be really loving with yourself allow them to come up, listen to them, and give them an opportunity to feel loved, because that is the only thing that will help them be free. Now, I know we're coming at the end already. Time goes so fast. So I'm going to go over the homework for this coming week. If you have any questions, please raise your hand by pressing star 2. And if you're on the webcast, you can write a question and just send it in. So I'm just going to go over a few things here before I answer the questions, okay? So the homework is, of course, you feel loved. And please finish the list if you have any regrets. It's important that you really take time to clear out your energy field of any contractions where you've been holding on to things. And then do your best to allow it, forgive yourself. And if you need to make any amends with anybody from the past, if that will help you to let go of the regrets, the things that you've done, please do so. It may also be enough to write it down. Write the letter to somebody as if you're going to send it to them, and really do it from a heartfelt place. And read it, write it, read it, and then you can burn it and really just set it free and ask the divine to help this energy be freed up. That is just as powerful. And you will be the one who knows which one is the right one. Because sometimes connecting with people may not be the right thing, and we need to respect that. But that should not stop us from doing what we need to do to free up ourselves. I want to keep suggesting you read the commitment to the Liberation Proclamation. Maybe by the end of these 7 weeks I'll be able to say it right. So... And then also I want to just mention for on Wednesday in 2 days, we're going to have the second bonus call, and that's where we'll be doing the EFT tapping. Please make sure that if you don't know the points yet, go Google it and print out a chart with the tapping points, and so you can just follow along on Wednesday. And next week is our last class in this series. I would like to do a little sharing next week, so if possible, if you can be on the phone instead of on the webcast, that would be nice, so we can just maybe share a little bit more in person. And so I hope you can be on it live. And then you can also think a little bit about what next steps might be needed for you after we finish the class. I will also send out an email to you. You can write about that, and then we can see if there's anything else that wants to unfold after this. So please post anything on Facebook, anything you may have want to share about that came up in the session today. All right, let me see if there's any questions. Yes, there is a question from Holland. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can unmute this. Hello, Teresa. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, good. You're a little far away. Try again.
I tried something else.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yeah, a little better. You're a little far away. I don't know if it's but let's just try it. If you can maybe speak up a little bit so we can hear you.
Yeah, I'll speak as hard as possible. I have a question, and I would like to, if you could look to it with me.
Sure.
I have, when I write down the shoots, when I have at the end of the day, sometimes I have not a should, but I have to. I have to. It's like, for instance, I have to work hard. It's not I should work hard, but I have to work hard. And with the shoulds, because I have been busy with it, looking at it, and as you explained a lot of things, I recognize them more easily, and I know they are not true. But with the I have to, it is more difficult, and it's like I have to kind of examine it every time. So my question is, would you say that I have to is like even stronger than a should? Or is it also a should? Or is there a way to dismantle them easily as I can see the shoulds now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great question. I don't have an immediate answer for that, because I think it's a feeling that you will start that you feel in your body, and you will know. Just to make sure I get the question right. So I have to. I would say there are things in life that we have to do. You know, we have to be responsible for things we've taken on. This course is not about becoming irresponsible and dropping all our duties. That's not what this is about, and I think I talked about that in the first week. So there are things we have to do. Now, if it is something that gives an absolute resistance of no in your body, if it's not your truth, I think it's very important for you to listen to that. And it sounds to me that a have to and a should, they can be very similar. I still use the word should at times. I think I use it in this hour that we spoke, because now I catch myself more when I say should. But it's not, I'm talking about the deeper shoulds or the deeper have to's, where we are not being true to who we are, where we are trying to live several steps away from ourselves, where we are leaving our own truth, our own presence, our own being, our own heart, in order to be different than we are, so we can fit in, whether it is to be loved, to be seen, to be whatever. Those are the ones where we leave ourselves. If we are in a situation where, for instance, at a job, you have to do certain things because that is what you are committed to, right? You have a contract. This is the work you're supposed to do there. So, of course, you have to do it. Now,
you know, it's like I have to be, I have to have a lot of knowledge in my, or I should have a lot of knowledge in my profession. And then sometimes I say I have to have the knowledge, or I have to be interesting. It's even like more heavy than I should.
Uh-huh. So it sounds like you're not fully in your own truth. So you have to have a lot of knowledge. That's in order to do your job. Is that right?
That is in order to, like when I am with younger colleagues, to be interesting.
Ah, okay. So it's not. Oh. Did you catch yourself there, Teresa?
Yeah, I saw these things yesterday. It was a lot. It had a lot to do with work and younger colleagues and me wanting to be interesting and be. Because there they are young and they are beautiful and they know a lot of things, and it's like, where am I going to put myself in this group? So I have these things, I should be there. And then sometimes I have to, you know, it's so.
So it seems stronger, huh, for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to me, it sounds like, oh, go ahead. Go ahead, hon.
It confuses then me sometimes. I think it's because I'm busy with this should list. I think, does it fit in the should list, or is it something else? Yeah.
It sounds to me like it's the same, and apparently when you say have to, it may even be stronger for you. And it may be also a Dutch thing, you know, with words that you may just see, but it sounds to me like you're being very hard on yourself when you do that. Would you say that's true?
Yes, that is the... When I go looking and looking and looking, I can see the being hard. But at first, I do not see it so quickly because it has the words I have to, you know? And I'm more focused on the I should. That's like, oh, I should. Oh, you know, that's more clear.
Great. So for now, it might be helpful for you to translate it into I should if you see the I, or put I have to, make that... And I have to, or I should. It sounds like it's the same, but from what I'm hearing, and I may not get it right, it sounds like I have to is even stronger, that it has a stronger charge to it, almost like a survival one. I almost get a sense like you have to, otherwise you almost, it's a matter of life and death or something. Is that right? It's really strong.
Yes, that's a bit, it can be very strong and...
Yeah. Now those... They need a lot of love, Teresa, because you're being very hard on yourself there, right? It's like you should be younger, you should be like these young people, you should have the same, or you have to have the same knowledge and whatever like these young people. But the truth are, you are not like them. You're different. You have a different set of knowledge and experience that you can bring to it, and you may even be blocking that when you think you have to be like them. So you might, actually it sounds like you're blocking your own flow, your own wisdom, because you think you should be like them, or you have to be like them.
I have to be as interesting as them, something like that.
Yeah, and what would happen if you are as interesting as them? What would that give you?
Then I belong to the group.
Yeah. You see how we always try to fit in and belong and try and make ourselves different than we are?
Yeah.
See how deep it goes?
Yeah.
So the scary part is, for most of us in the beginning, is to stand out and be different than the group.
Yeah, that's scary. That's true.
Yeah. And that's, again, don't force yourself out in there, but just breathe into the fear that's afraid that you will not belong to the group. Because if you're not being yourself, you're leaving yourself, and you're going to suffer. You cause a lot of contraction in yourself. Your body may suffer from it. See if you can just feel into the fact that you're different. You're not young like them. You have a different set of knowledge, right? That's what is. That's you in this moment.
Yeah. So it's like the have to's. I will like see them the same as the should's.
It sounds like it's the same, but with a bigger choice.
Yeah,
add them to the add that to your list, and that might be a separate list that has stronger charge, almost like a survival charge, huh? Do you guys know that the whole thing about not fitting in, it really comes from back in, the hunter-gatherers time, I think, where if you were not, or even later too, if you do not fit into a group, you would often be expelled, that you would be sent away because you were different. So there is a real survival mechanism in our system to fit in. It used to be survival based, that if you were expelled from the group, you would die. You basically would die. So don't take it too lightly that this is in you. It's in all of us. It's in our genes. It's in our cells. You know, to fit in means to survive. So we're up against an old energy that was true back then, but it's not true anymore.
That I recognize very much, this thing of survive and being spelled out, is what you said?
Say that again, sorry, I couldn't hear.
That is a thing that I am happy you just said that, about belonging to the group and the fear of survival and being sent out.
Yes, yes.
That I can really sense, that I really recognize that. So
great.
It's good
great.
To see you. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Oh, good. So that will be helpful. So that part needs to be freed up. That's an old unconscious energy that needed to survive, needed to fit in to survive back then. So breathe into that. See if you can bring some love into that, some breath, some allowing, so it can start to soften. And then the more you soften that fear, you make room for your own heart, for your own expression. And you know, Therese, I would not be surprised if the more you show up as you, they're going to love you.
Yeah.
Because you're you and because you're not trying to be like them.
Yeah, I must say I love very much the thing you said about just about as you spoke about this fear of being expelled.
Yeah, yeah.
And breathe in that. It's like it's like a harness of 50 years. That's how it's around me. It's really
very great. So you know what that needs, right? It needs a lot of gentleness, a lot of allowing. And no pushing. You can't push it out. You can only soften it by allowing it.
Yeah, and I must say, just having spoken about it and you giving this feedback, it's like it's already opening a bit.
Great.
Yeah. It's because I'm not alone anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great. Beautiful.
Yeah.
What an insight. That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Great question. I think that was probably helpful for everyone. I think you spoke for all of us. So, great. All right, my dear. Go ahead.
A big kiss?
A big kiss. Gottesoon.
Yeah. And hear you later.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye,
much love. Bye-bye. Bye, Teresa. All right. Let me see. Let me see if there's anybody else here on the Q&As. No, I think that's it for today. All right, my friends. So we will all meet in 2 days, and we'll be tapping our little hearts out. We'll be tapping our little perfectionist into oblivion or into softness, something. So thank you so much. Wonderful call today, and I look forward to being with you in a couple of days. Have a beautiful day. Much love. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.